Anyway, we'll do that. I have a couple I want to pass along. Talk a little Razorback baseball. Hogs narrowly miss a sweep, unfortunately. It was very disappointing in the second half of a doubleheader that was played on Saturday. The Hogs give up a grand slam. Errors again, rearing their ugly heads. And this has been a recurring theme with this Arkansas team, unfortunately. Dave Van Horn, despite winning the series, that was the good news, disappointed in the outcome in Game 3 on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good win in 2 out of 3. It's just tough losing that way. You know, we got a routine ground ball to second. Second baseman just let it play him instead of coming and getting the big hop. You know, and that's the way this game worked. I mean, we make one error all weekend, and it cost us a game. And that's a disappointing part. But, you know, we matched up with them the whole game. We knew we didn't have Suggs to close this one out and kind of closing by committee. And we had it. We had it right there. You know, obviously after that we give up 2 or 3 more hits and we lose the ball game. The bullpen was outstanding. I mean, golly, they just came in and got it done, hitter after hitter, inning after inning, and, you know, gave us a chance to hang in there and win the first 2 ball games and gave us a chance right there to the end. And like I said, we make one play, we sweep and get out of here.
So I can make an argument for a game ball and a jock share for the Razorback baseball team, but that's not where mine are going today, Chris.
No?
No, and I'll give you some time to search that giant brain of yours.
I have
for a couple.
One already.
Go ahead. I'll let you go first then.
Are you sure?
Sure.
Whoever didn't vote LeBron James in the MVP voting first place gets my jock strap.
I meant to write the guy's name down, but I did not do it. And Washburn, I think, is his last name. He's
was
a columnist.
Yeah. Okay. It wasn't. Yesterday, there was a lot of Twitter fodder going on with Dan Le Batard.
Yes.
He was taking credit for it, I guess you could call, but it was a publicity stunt, and he was just retweeting and posting every picture from every major radio producer that was sending him an email saying, "Hey, we want you on the show." He made a mockery out of it.
It's hilarious.
It was very funny.
The funniest part of it is he doesn't even have a vote.
No.
Which
he just
hosts
the show. He's not, you know, he's a columnist, but he doesn't have a vote in the MVP voting.
I would be in favor of giving Dan Le Batard this idiot's pick who doesn't have it. I saw the guy trying to make his case today on ESPN. His take is, I really feel like Carmelo Anthony, which is who he picked,
yes,
is more valuable. Here's my problem with that. First of all, they should rename it because it shouldn't be the MVP.
No.
It should be the MOP. Who's the most outstanding player? Okay?
Best player in the league.
Because it's really become a de facto most outstanding player. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of years where you can make a case that maybe the most valuable guy is not the most outstanding guy. Kobe Bryant got screwed out of a couple MVPs because while he was the best player in the league, he may not have been the most valuable to his team that particular year. Exactly.
Yes.
That's the thing.
In quotes, valuable.
So it's an iffy deal. So, I mean, but anybody who didn't give LeBron James didn't have a great year this year. LeBron James had a great year against all of the years, not measured against this season and these players, measured against everyone ever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I look at it. Now he becomes one of only 5 guys with 4 MVPs or more. So now you got to make the case that here's the thing, we always get into Michael or LeBron or that or the other. Look, I think we need to have a safe bet and say, if you're going to start, have a starting 5, you just pick the guys who have won 4 MVPs or more and go from there.
Sounds good to me.
So you got Michael, Kareem, Wilt.
I think Russell's in there.
And Russell.
Yeah.
And now LeBron, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
Pretty good 5.
I'd take him any day.
It's a little front court heavy, but LeBron could be your 2 guard. It's kind of scary.
He could play any of them.
So anyway, but yeah, that's a jockstrap and I guess a game ball at the same time for LeBron James,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know what? I guess it would have been nice to be the first ever unanimous MVP selection.
I didn't realize
it would have been the first ever.
Michael Jordan never got a unanimous?
Unanimous first ever.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
The one point the guy did make that I'll agree with is that he said, hey, look, I figured there'd be a few votes here and there for a Durant. You know, I figured there'd be a few others for Carmelo. I figured even like a Chris Paul might get some.
So if he would have known that everyone else voted for LeBron, he would have voted for LeBron just to vote. That guy's vote should be revoked immediately.
I agree with you, but he also said, look, I mean, that's my opinion. I can make a case that he's the most valuable to his team.
Well, then you start breaking down, what is it? Is it the most valuable to your team or the most valuable in the league? I mean, to the league, maybe. Is there a bigger picture with this? Is LeBron James, if he was out for the season, would you not argue he's the most valuable player to the NBA?
There is no question. No, I don't argue that. There's no question that he's the most valuable guy to the NBA. There is no one else in the league, to include Durant, to include Kobe Bryant, that has the star power and the importance for the overall interest in the NBA that LeBron James has.
And that's
has.
When you look at the word value and valuable. And I think you're right. I think that needs to be looked at again M-O-P. M-O-P. That sounds fine. Just the same as MVP. I think he most outstanding player, hands down, LeBron James.
Later in the week, Joe Klein will be in. I'll ask him.
Please do.
Should they change the name of the award? Because that was his whole argument. He's not even saying that LeBron's not playing better and had a better season. He's saying that he's more valuable. He's saying that Carmelo.
So he went by definition.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't even know that he can make a good case for that because LeBron James is so valuable on both. He missed Defensive Player of the Year by a tiny margin.
It upset him, too.
Yes, he was upset about that. I like it. Motivation for next year.
That's
the last thing.
He might block 150 shots next year.
And it went to Gasol, right?
It did.
I love Marc Gasol. I keep thinking this, and I keep wanting to tweet it, and I never do it.
What?
Marc Gasol is far and away, no argument, no question, the most improved player in the NBA the last 5 years.
Okay, yes.
When you look at the last five years, where he was 5 years ago and where he is today, he is far and away the most improved player. He's a valuable person on the offensive end, which is something I never thought I would see. I remember going to an NBA game. We watched him play the Lakers. Kobe had just come back from an injury. Kobe hit a game winner. It was a great night. I was thrilled to be able to see Kobe in person. But the next day, my take on the game was, why did God weigh 7 feet on Marc Gasol? This dude is horrible. I cannot believe he carries any of the same genes that Pau Gasol has.
He used to only be, oh, that's Pau Gasol's brother. That's all he was.
Right.
He was Pau Gasol's brother.
He was the guy that they made the trade for and got rid of Pau in the process, going, what are you doing?
From Atlanta.
Now it turns out he's really a great player. Yeah. And he's more durable than his brother.
He is. He's bigger, too. You know what I mean? He's more built.
He's much more durable.
He is. He's much more durable.
Yeah. Powell's more built for speed, at least by Gasol standards. And Mark is more built for durability. And he's more like a big Tonka truck.
Yeah, he is. But he's going to move people around.
But, man, he's a good shot blocker. Yep. I really like the way he plays on both ends. And he is so much more improved than anybody else. Carmelo, offensively, is probably as improved as anybody over the last 5 years. But he hasn't gotten any better defensively.
He's always been a good scorer, though. I mean, let's think. The last game, he had one assist. He had 11 boards. I'll give him that. So he's doing what Melo does. Melo, people, you know, knock on him for not getting a lot of assists, but let's face it. He's not your guy that's going to distribute the ball. He's a scorer. He's a perennial scorer, and that's what he's doing. So I'll give him credit. He's scoring, at least he was, until the last game. He kind of struggled.
I'm fighting hard not to do the whole – we could do the entire show on NBA. We still have Kentucky Derby to talk about. Great finish there. My uncle got – paid
really
as part of a big group that got in on a bet. I'll tell you about
it. Nice.
The one you wanted to win was the Kentucky Oaks because the winner there was Queen of Salmar or whatever. I mistyped it in my Twitter, but it was like a 37-1 shot. Now it was a Pletcher horse, no surprise there. But Pletcher's five horses could not get home for him on Saturday. He would have been the first trainer in 61 years, I think, to get the Derby Oaks double.
Would have been amazing.
Yeah, he was in great shape, but Shug McGahee comes home. First time he ever gets a winner. So
as a Hall of Famer, too, which was surprising.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. We've got more baseball to talk about. The Razorbacks, we'll look at the week ahead. Chris has to cut out at noon, but we have a ton of entertainment stuff to get to, including a clip, if you haven't seen it yet. It's great video. It's great audio, too, of Reese Witherspoon's arrest. Surely you've seen it by now.
Oh, yeah. She went off the deep end on that one, didn't she?
We have an update on that story from over the weekend as well. Let me get Jimbo in here on Game Balls and Jockstraps. What's up, man?
What's going on?
What do you have for me?
Tough weekend.
What a busy weekend.
Definite game ball for Shug McGahee. Great guy. Love to see that he won. And a definite jockstrap to myself because I played an exacta with orb all, and then I said, no, let me take four horses out. I took out the second place horse.
Mm.
Did the same thing on the trifecta. Mm. I put the three in the third hole. So that cost me about $4,000.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Saving about 20. And got to give a jock strap to Fletcher. I mean, I know his horse wins the oak, but it was the worst of the bunch, and he almost didn't put it in. The owner said, I want to run, and he begrudgingly ran him. And so it's kind of hard to have that horse because Pletcher didn't even like him. So.
Well, there you go. Good info.
All right, man.
Thanks, Jimbo. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jimbo.
Yeah, and look, sometimes it's hard to predict. It's like golf. I mean, Harry King and I were talking about this morning, which I always enjoy my Mondays with Harry. He comes in to do the show with no name.
Oh, really?
But he and I usually visit for about 15 or 20 minutes because he gets here early before
Harry's
they
great.
Go on at 7. But one of the things we talked about was trying to predict a golfer's success after watching him the week before is a tough thing to do, and it's a dangerous exercise to get into, because just because a guy played well one week doesn't mean he'll play well the next week.
On one course compared to another.
Exactly.
Yeah,
there's so many variances, you know?
Especially, and you look at what happened this past weekend, the rainy weather. I mean, what did those horses do
right in
rain throughout the season?
And that's the point. It's just like that. It's just like horse racing. Just because a horse did particularly well. It's like we were talking about, too, the Illinois Derby winner was held out of the Kentucky Derby. And there are horses that finished. I guess the second and third place horses in this race are going to sit the Preakness.
Yep,
they've already announced that. So, again, it's the guys that know them, I guess, know them. But, again, you don't know necessarily how they're going to do, and you can't always predict it. And, again, all these horses have nice pedigrees. They've all done something significant to get to this point. So
it's the best of the best.
It's not a crapshoot, but it's not a lot more than that at times.
Good point.
Our handicapper, Jeff Taylor, he had – Palace Malice.
Yes.
And Palace Malice took off like a bullet.
Looked great.
And I'm thinking, man, there is no way he can go wire to wire.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be the case. He kind of fell back in the back.
That's the kind of position where you look at and you early in the race you're thinking, oh no, did he start him too soon? Did he pull out and start too soon? And it turns out that
I always look at there are horses I've seen bust out and they look like they're not pushing, they're just breezing.
Yeah.
He looked like he was pushing a little bit, although everybody looked like they were
giving down the first stretch, he looked like, you know, he had a couple links, but at that point you knew once they make that turn, people are going
to
catch up.
Yeah, but he was putting in a lot of effort to get out in front like that, too. Yeah. There are horses that sometimes just are comfortable and smooth and relaxed, and they're just easily breezing around, and they take a big lead.
Big Brown did that a few years ago. I remember watching Big Brown thinking, there's no one who's going to beat this horse.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
David Basil was counting on it. He went all the way out to the Belmont.
Did he really?
Yes, and then watch Big Brown finish around second.
It's all David Basil's fault.
Second to
it's
last.
It's all Basil's fault.
I think that horse
has
not come in yet. Game balls and jocks. No, I mean, it finished like – I mean, it wasn't dead last, I don't think, but it was close maybe if it wasn't last.
Yeah.
Basil still tells that story. He is the jinx. He's jinxed many an athletic event over the years.
I know. I went duck hunting with him.
Did you kill any ducks?
Not really.
But did you watch Johnny Football kill ducks?
Only one or two.
A couple of ivory bill woodpeckers, too. What's up, Craig?
Hey, what's happening? I just got a game ball and a couple of jock straps.
Okay.
First jock strap goes to Quail Hollow's greens.
Yep.
Because that's terrible for a PGA event.
You should probably give a jock strap to the weather, too, then.
Yeah, that'd be the third one, then.
I mean, I'll give them credit. At least they're going to flip them over to Bermuda. They were just a year too late.
Yeah. The second one goes to Joey Crawford for going T-happy in game six of the Clippers-Grizzly. Even though I was pulling for the Grizzlies, I didn't like seeing him tossing everybody. That's just ridiculous. It looked like he had a senior moment or something. My game ball is LeBron and Kevin Durant for yesterday's shot, even though I'm pulling for the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. I'll give him the game ball for the shot. That's all I got. Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
And this is normally one where I would say, hey, the Grizzlies let a game slip away, but Oklahoma City just made plays down the stretch where, I mean, what are you going to do?
The best player on the floor made a play at the end, and he was clutch.
Yeah. And then they forced a turnover late. There was a poorly passed ball that was tightly defended, and the ball goes off of Conley. And Conley's really playing well. I like the way he's developed, too.
It was a great game.
They're good enough to win. That's the thing. I mean, they took them to – I think they took – it went seven games the last time they played 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
We actually watched Oklahoma City beat them in Memphis as part of our – we had a two-game playoff run that we watched them beat San Antonio in Memphis. Then we came back and watched them lose to Oklahoma City, unfortunately.
That was when the Spurs were the number one seed, too.
Yes.
When it was a huge upset, if there is that in the NBA.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
It was fun.
Okay, here are my game balls and my jock straps.
What do you got?
My game balls from over the weekend go to Derek's. Derek Fisher for his play.
Uh-huh.
And Derek Ernst for his play at the PGA tournament. Okay?
Okay.
First of all, Fisher.
Ernst.
Fisher makes a huge steal. And then he hits a couple of threes in the game.
The ageless wonder.
He is. And on Friday, I'm calling for more brew, less fish, which is what I like at my fish fries when I go to those.
I like a good combo of both, but I understand. Go ahead.
I was shocked that they did not use Brewer at all defensively on Harden. I thought he's long. He's a good defender. He's annoying. I mean, he's exactly
he's
the kind
annoying.
Of guy. No, he is. I mean, as a defender, that's a positive.
He's scrappy.
He's the guy I want on Harden, and they didn't use him at all. But they kept using Fisher, which is fine. I didn't have a problem with them using Fisher. I had a bigger issue with them not using...
Well, without Westbrook, they need someone to fill in on the point.
That was my point. Well,
and
the thing is, the one consistent in that series, whether he was sick, whether they had Westbrook on him, or whoever they had on him early in this, Harden was killing them offensively.
Left and right.
He was destroying them. So that was my issue with that. Anyway, it all worked out fine. But Derek Fisher has come up huge. He makes a big defensive play late. He plays like not only a veteran, but, I mean, truly a wily guy who, look, he is way beyond his prime, but he is so there's I talk about it all the time. The one asset you have when you're a great athlete is anticipation. Now, when you have great anticipation and you're a great athlete like LeBron is at the top of your game athletically, you can really do some freakish things.
Do whatever you want.
But Derek Fisher still has that from a mental standpoint. He understands and he can see maybe a little bit quicker than anybody else can how it's going to play out. But with that goofy-looking jump shot of his, he keeps knocking him down.
The lefty.
He was 3 of 7 from the floor, 2 of 3 from three the other day, last night. He, in the last three games, Chris, 7 of 12 from beyond the arc. So he is having an impact. He had some huge shots against Houston in their deciding game. He is really playing well, so I give him a big game ball. And then this kid named Derek Ernst, who is young.
Ernst.
But he is not an accounting firm. So Ernst comes up huge in a playoff in the pouring rain, and he has to birdie 18 to get to the playoff, and he sticks it in a place that nobody else had done all day. He got it all the way back to a back pin, sticks it to about 4 feet, makes the birdie putt, forces the extra hole. He plays against David, I can't remember his last name now, but he's a British golfer
okay.
who most people have not heard of, and he wins the tournament. And that dude got himself in some trouble, but he did make a nice recovery after hitting a terrible drive on the playoff hole. But how about that? 22-year-old kid. And the story on him is he was the fourth alternate in. So he's on his way to play in a web.com tour. And they go, oh, wait, all these guys pulled out because the greens suck. You're in. So he has to change his plans.
And he wins it.
And head over there. Yes, 22-year-old rookie. He was the fourth alternate. He was 192 yards away. He hits it that close, and he makes the putt. Boy, it'd be nice to be able to hit a 6-iron, choked up, 192 yards. This kid hits it a mile, so they all hit it a long ways, though. I guess that's not especially far for a PGA player. But
true.
So anyway, congratulations to him. I have to give a dual jockstrap. One, both of these are Quail Hollow. One goes to all the PGA pros who either pulled out or complained publicly about the quality of the greens. It was one of those things that couldn't be helped. This is a great tournament. You could see it was extremely lush everywhere else. Very well manicured. But the greens, I mean, look, we've seen it happen all over the state of Arkansas. There's a reason why courses in the South are switching over to Champions Bermuda. And this course is going to do the same thing for next year. For them to cry about it, though, kills me. It's like, look, you're still going to make a bunch of money, and yeah. everybody has to play under the same conditions. The one thing that killed me was these guys kept leaving putts short. And you had slow greens. You also had wet greens. And I'm like, you have to adjust. You're a PGA Tour pro. You're the best in the business. How can you consistently be that bad?
You can pick wherever you want that ball to go, basically.
The mentally tough survive.
Yes.
And that's what happened this weekend. This kid,
Ernst.
Look, he's 22. He has no expectations. He's just happy to be there. Truly happy to be there. These other PGA guys, it's like anybody who complained about it or couldn't adjust to it, I have no sympathy for them. And it makes them seem like the prima donna babies that everybody else thinks they are anyway. Second of all, Phil Mickelson, for being Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson on Saturday, he hits a shot right on his drive. So he has a decision. He's either, and it's a par five. So all he has to do is hit like a 6-iron, and then he's got maybe another 6, 7, 8-iron in on a par five. Instead, he decides to try to smash 3-wood. Well, he pulls it out of bounds. He has to hit it again. So
classic
he hits 3-wood again.
Classic Phil.
And that one was pretty good. He ends up making double, and he just misses out on the playoff. He also blew it on 17 yesterday. But Phil Mickelson going Phil Mickelson. There is no telling if he had half a brain or a caddy with some cojones what he could do. He probably could have won 5, 6, 7, 8 more tournaments and a couple more majors along the way. Now, you got to be a great player, and you got to do a lot of things right to get yourself in position to then screw it up like he did
yeah.
this weekend. But it is amazing to me how many times Phil makes that boneheaded play. Hugest jockstrap, though, comes from the NBA. I'll tell you where it goes when we come back. You're in the zone. It's 1027. Stay with us. Justin Akery joining the Fury Electric Studio by Chris Kane of KTV.